look at the priest again this morning, because that's the acronym, PEACE. Of course, we're dealing with a P, but also peace in 2026 is the universal cry, and it's far from peace, very far from peace. Nations are rising against nations, our own country, man, it's in a mess, and so are many other countries, and there just seems to be no peace. But we do pray for peace. And that is our theme for the year, which is also twofold, the acronym PEACE and also peace in general. So we're looking at what we've started 2 weeks ago by, I'm a Christian, so what? So what? I'm a Christian. Is that all to Christianity? I'm a Christian, which we looked at last week as well. Is that the sum of all things? Can it be expanded on? Can I expand on the fact that I'm a Christian? Yeah, we can. We've dealt with some of it last week. We're dealing with it again today. Yes, I can expand on the fact that I'm a Christian. I'm something else. Absolutely. What am I? I'm a witness. We saw that on Wednesday night at the Bible study that we are teaching the people to be witnesses. Whether you like it or not, when you become a born-again child of God, not belonging to a particular religious organization, to be born again, you've got to have an experience with God. We ask Jesus to take away your sins and you start a new walk. So I'm a witness. So I'm born again, and now I don't actually have a choice to be a witness or not a witness. I am a witness. So I'm either a good witness or I'm not a good witness, or I'm a witness witnessing for the God that I love and appreciate. But that's also not all in life. What you can do if you want to, you can mess around with people's minds. And you say, I am a Christian, I'm a witness, but I'm also something else. I'm a peculiar person. So if you want to, you can turn to somebody now and say, I'm a peculiar person, and pull your face if you want to. I'm a peculiar person. And that person can look at you and say, I've noticed that. By then, when you tell people you are a peculiar person, they will most probably call 911. Something's happened to you. Well, to crown it, you can say, I'm not finished. I'm not only a peculiar person, I'm a priest in God's priesthood. Well, that does it. A priesthood? A priest in priesthood? What are you talking about, man? Game over. That's insane. The person is insane. But that's actually what we are in Jesus Christ. Born again, Christian, follower, disciple, witness, priesthood, or priest in the priesthood of God. When we start analyzing that, we recognize it's not so shallow as we make Christianity out to be. There's a fantastic position that we are serving in. And that's where we kick off again with 1 Peter 2:9. And we'll be using this throughout this morning's lesson. But you are not like that, which we went into depth last week as to not like that. Not like those that reject Christ. Not like those that haven't had a relationship with God. You are not like that. For you are a chosen people, as the Israelites were a chosen people, so we are a chosen people in Jesus Christ. You are royal priests, a holy nation. And notice God's very own possession. And in parentheses, I've put a peculiar people because, if I'm not mistaken, your King James Version says peculiar people. So God's very own possession, a peculiar people. As a result of this, of what? That you are God's very own possession, we have a responsibility. Do I have an option? No, I don't. Because I'm his possession, so who makes the call? The one that possesses me. The one that owns me. So as a result, you can show who? Others. That means I'm a witness. I'm showing others the goodness of God. For what reason? There's got to be a reason. What's the reason? How do I know God is good? By what he's done. And what has he done? He's called me out of darkness into his wonderful, oh man, another translation, into his marvelous light. So as we look at that this morning, we recognize that we are priests, an elect group from the tribe of Levi, which we are not, were the priests. All the priests came out of the tribe of Levi. And of course, out of that, we'll also find a high priest. And you and I know nothing much about this except what we read. And we have never experienced this being in a temple with priests and priesthood in Israel. But the Jews know exactly what this is all about. Levi, one of the 12 tribes, they were separated by God because they actually stood with Moses when Moses came down from the mountain and all the other people were worshiping this golden calf. It was the tribe of Levi that stood with Moses, and so God set them aside as the Levitical priesthood. So we find from this elect group, separated, chosen by God. Yet Christians are not from this group. So how can we be priests if we are not from the tribe of Levi? And maybe you haven't even considered this or read much about it, and we'll elaborate a little bit this morning. Christians are not from this elect group. They are from another group or another individual. People or believers today are a chosen generation, chosen by God through Jesus Christ. Now we find that Jesus has become the high priest. And it's something amazing that I'm going to show you, elaborate a little bit on this morning about what happened in the temple in Jesus' time. So believers are in Christ, but yet God chose Christ. And now we are in Christ if we become followers of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the high priest. And yet Jesus is not from the tribe of the Levites. He's from the tribe of Judah. And then we also discover that he's not ordained after the tribe of the Levitical priesthood. He's of Melchizedek, which is totally different priesthood. But the Melchizedek priesthood is a priesthood that is eternal. And of course, that's where Jesus fits in, the eternal priesthood. So right now, where is Jesus? No, he's dead. Oh, really? Didn't he rise from the dead? He's raised up. And where is he? Seated at the right hand of God. As what? The high priest. The high priest. So we recognize that we are in Christ and we are the priesthood of Christ, the high priest. So instead of being an earthly race with common ancestry and distinct physical characters, Christians are a heavenly people. But we must be careful that we're not so heavenly minded and no earthly good. So we are heavenly people because the Bible says you are citizens of what? Heaven. But you're also citizens of earth. So if we are citizens of heaven, that means there's the high priest and we are part of this priesthood, and while we're on earth, we're going to function as the priest, and we're going to go on a little bit with that this morning. We have divine parentage, spiritual resemblance, and the main privilege of the high priest in Jesus' day and prior to that, but particularly Jesus' day as well, the function of the high priest was to have access to God. Only the high priest could have access to God. The other priests couldn't. They could serve in and around the temple or the tabernacle in the old and temple in Jesus' day, but they couldn't have access to God because within this temple there was the Holy of Holies and the holy place. And there was a massive curtain, a veil. And the priest, high priest, would do his stuff, and then he'll go into the main place, the Holy of Holies, sprinkle blood on the mercy seat, represent man, and God's presence was evident. And only the high priest could have that privilege of having access to God. And under the law, the high priest could only enter the Holy of Holies once a year. Just think about this, guy. You see, we don't comprehend it in our society today because that doesn't make sense and we're not familiar with it. And because it's not familiar, I'm not familiar with it, I don't really care. But everything that happened then is essential for us now. The high priest can only go in once a year, have access to God. But when Christ died, the amazing thing when he died on Golgotha, at the very moment he breathed out his last breath, the priest, the high priest and the priest, but the high priest in particular, was busy with his function in the temple. It is highly possible that as Jesus was on Golgotha and he was blowing out his last breath, breathing out his last breath and saying, "It is finished." And the Bible says, and he gave up his spirit. It's at that very moment, the veil where the high priest would be either in front of or he's in the Holy of Holies. At that very moment, the veil tore. The veil tore. The curtain tore. In other words, separating or opening that separation, opening the Holy of Holies to the holy place. In other words, now people can enter. Not only the high priest now. So it's virtually an opening for everybody within the priesthood. But now we find something very amazing. When Christ died, the veil, the type of Christ's human body, it was symbolic of Jesus' body that was torn to pieces. We find that this veil, which we obviously look at times, and Judith gave us a lesson on the tabernacle some time ago, and also into the temple a little bit, But this curtain, this veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies was torn. And you know what is amazing with this thing? No human being was involved. But that's even not the point. Here's the point. Look at the slide. It's a bit blurry. Can you see the priest doing his thing over there, the high priest? He would do the candle of the incense over there, and then the next phase would go past that curtain. Go past that curtain into the Holy of Holies. Just briefly look at that veil. Let's call it a curtain. In my words, I would say that's no darn curtain, that's a rug. Or what else can we call this thing? Well, let's look at the dimensions according to Josephus, which is, Josephus is a Jewish historian. And according to what he says, that veil, that curtain, now try and imagine this. This thing is being torn from the top to the bottom at 60 foot high. More than that, that veil is 30 foot wide. More than that, that veil is 4 inches thick, which took 300 priests to move it around, which weighed about 60,000 pounds. So how many humans were involved here? Now this is what makes it the miracle, that when Jesus blew out his breath, at that very time, that 60-foot veil, that 60-foot curtain, 4 inches thick, tore from 60 foot above to ground level. Imagine 60 feet. What a temple this was. Solomon's temple enlarged by Herod. The miracle had taken place. In Mark 15, 37, 38, Jesus cried out in a loud voice and died. The curtain in the temple was split in two, from the top to the bottom. Now the believer That's access to God, only the high priest. Now the believer can have access to God. The believer that is in Jesus Christ. In other words, somebody that's confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior, where you and I am now, has access to God through the high priest. And where is the high priest? The high priest is in the presence of God, and we got absolute permission to go into the presence of God 24/7. Not once a year. So all of a sudden, this begins to make sense to me, but it's a great miracle. A thing that I can't comprehend, a thing that at times I don't understand because I'm not a Jew. But at the same time, when I read Jewish literature and I go through the Bible and its contents, I recognize God did something majestic, something wonderful, that has invited people to his presence. Wow. The believer, which is now a priest, has access to God himself, and right there is our high priest, Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 3, verse 12, because of Christ, notice this though, because of Christ, our faith in him. Pause for a moment. Because of Christ and our faith in him. But let's take Christ out of the situation. Let's take Christ out of the equation. And let's take our faith out of the equation. And then we ask, what have we got? Nothing. Nothing. No Christ. No salvation. No faith. No salvation. But because of Christ, that blew out his last breath, gave himself up to die. And that's the amazing thing. Nobody killed him. He gave himself up. Oh, yeah, the Romans put the spear in his side and all kinds of other stuff. But because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come what? We can come back. Who's we? The church, the children of God, the priests. They couldn't come boldly to God. Only the high priest could come boldly to God. Now we can come boldly and confidently. I love this. Confident, not arrogantly, confidently. We can come boldly and confidently where? Which you and I never had access to before. Don't you find this amazing? All of a sudden, I can come boldly without guilt, confidently into the very presence of God. Do you know what's so amazing? You will never hear the call, please hold the line, he's busy. ...24/7... in the presence of God. In the exercise of our office, the office of the New Testament believer priest, we find that the priest, and I'll just recap quickly from bring in some of last week, the priest, which you and I am, offers a threefold sacrifice. What is that threefold sacrifice? We offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. We offer praises to God, as you were singing this morning. We offering praises to God, which is the fruit of our lips. We also offer our material possession, which is also a part of sacrifice. Giving is a part of sacrifice. So as the priest, we're involved in all three of those things. And on top of that, the New Testament priest is also an intercessor, where we intercede or pray for others. So we've got a great responsibility as priests. But the question that I want to ask, and the question that you're going to need to answer, how did I become a priest? Go into its simplest form. How did I become a priest? By a decision. What decision? To accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I become a priest. But do you notice something? priests, not priestesses. Because in Christ there's no male, female. There's no Greek. There's no Jew. We are one in Christ. How did I become a priest? How did you become a priest? We are a peculiar people. We are a purchased people. And that's what the word peculiar means. A purchased people. So the King James might say you're a peculiar person. Well, it's a person that's been purchased. We had been bought or redeemed. But in 1 Peter 2 verse 9 again, we're going to go to that again. As a result of your priesthood, my priesthood, as a result of our experience with Jesus Christ, once I was dead, now I'm alive. Once I was blind, now I can see. Once I was a nobody, now I'm a somebody. Because of that result, I have a responsibility. You can show others, and there's our function. All of us that are born again, our function is to show others the goodness of God. Somebody showed it to you and me, and now we're going to show it to others. To show His goodness, His great deeds, or those things which make it proper to praise Him. For instance, that's why we're here on a snowy Sunday, to praise Him. And this shows one great object for which they were redeemed. What is the great object? To show others the goodness of God. So we can pause and ask ourselves this morning, have you experienced the goodness of God? Yes, of course you have. So what do? Share it. Share it. It's natural. We've got to show it that God is good. Literally, to proclaim to those without what has taken place within. So that's all we're doing. Because something happened on the inside, it's going to show on the outside. And we're going to reveal it through the various forms, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. Using the fruit of our lips to worship Him and sing to Him is a sacrifice. Sharing and giving to the work of God is part of the sacrifice. And being an intercessor, part of the sacrifice. So literally, to proclaim to those without what has taken place within. How is this to be done? We're living in this contentious world. We're living in an environment that seems to be becoming anti-Christian, more so than ever before. Are we intimidated by this or emboldened? We should be emboldened because we are the light in darkness. Don't squirm out of it. Be bold. There's a song I think brilliant. I don't know if I sang it. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. This is to be done witnessing, not by being embarrassed to talk about Him in public. We went over this on Wednesday night. I'm a witness. In today's environment, you can't even pray at your workplace. In today's environment, God help if you talk about Jesus at your workplace. So the workplace has accurately shut us down. The workplace has silenced us. Well, then we're going to find loopholes. If I can't talk to somebody at work, I can speak to them outside of work. If I can't speak in the office, I can speak maybe in the parking lot. And if they don't want me to speak in the parking lot, I can ask the people to drive out of the parking lot and park, and I can speak to you there. So we've got to be creative. Because the world wants to shut us down. But not being embarrassed to talk about him in public or with family. Oh, this is the worst thing. It's worse than politics. When you start speaking about your experience with Christ in your family members, with your family members, I don't want to hear about it. I'm not interested in God. You can have it. Yeah, I've got it, but I want to share it with you. Social media, don't be embarrassed to share him on social media by endeavoring to make known his goodness, his love, his mercy to all those that are ignorant of him. As we shared on Wednesday night, and we'll reiterate a little bit, in witnessing with Christ, there are various forms. The old Roman road, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You can use the bridge track. You can use evangelism explosion. They've got an EE3 already, and that's not a virus. It's just evangelism explosion. So we can use various tools in sharing about God. But the biggest challenge is that oftentimes you are outnumbered. And when you are outnumbered, you are intimidated. That's why we need the boldness of God. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. And also by constantly being aware of all that he's done for us and to be filled with gratitude. But there's a reason for us to do that, to witness. There's a reason for us to share. And I ask myself over and over, and I'm asking you, what is the reason? There's got to be a reason. If I'm going to share, there's got to be a reason. I can't share. What must I share? Just share. Doesn't matter. Just shut up. Share. There's got to be a reason. What is my reason for sharing? Ask yourself that question. What is the reason? What would you think? What is the reason? Why must I share? Saved us? A command? But how can I share just because of a command and not an experience? Gratitude? What is the reason? Well, lo and behold, it's right under our nose. It's right under my nose. Because he called us out of darkness. What is darkness? What is darkness? For he called us out of darkness. So would it be correct to say all of us were in darkness? Will you accept that? Who says? The Bible. Has the Bible got the right to say that? Everything in the Bible is for your benefit and my benefit. Not for God's benefit. God doesn't bless us so that he can be blessed. God blesses us because he wants us to be blessed. God gave us life, not because he wants life. He's got life and he wants to share that life with us. So there's a reason. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you and continues to call people out of darkness. And that will continue until the glorious day when he appears again. Who has called you out of darkness. Darkness, the condition of lost mankind. So are we born into darkness? Do we have to stay in darkness? No. What can I do to get out of darkness? Be born again. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Then you get out of darkness and continue to walk with him and in him. So it's the condition of lost mankind, being destitute of all spiritual truth and comfort. And it is so, why? What caused the darkness? Sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, that's way before my time. But that's carried over through the genes. And it doesn't matter how you identify yourself, you are born in darkness. Sin, the soul, the spirit of man separated from God. And there's only one way for the separated individual to come back to God, and that is through what Jesus Christ did. There is no other way. Oh, you can do your good deeds, you can say the right thing, but until you have the spiritual birth experience, you're still in darkness. Is that a religious thing? No, it's not. It's a biblical thing. And the soul being made capable, or if you want to, the spirit, and sometimes it's used interchangeably, and the soul being made capable of divine light. And the soul that is capable of having the divine light can never be satisfied until the divine light comes. Man has been created to worship. There will be emptiness, and there is an emptiness in man and woman until the point in time where they accept Christ as their Savior. And once that happens, light infiltrates. Light comes in. If you wanted, the bulb went on. Your spirit becomes alive. The moment you are born again, light enters, and you are now part of the light. So if I was part of darkness and I've been taken out of darkness, where am I now? But how did I get there? Jesus. But at the same time, we've got to see what darkness is like. Darkness is not pleasurable. Darkness is not satisfying. Darkness is, you don't know where you're going. It's a mess. And that's why we have a beautiful scripture in Matthew 5, verse 14 and 16. Read verse 14 with me, please. You, like a, now turn to somebody and say, you are the light of the world. Just turn to somebody. What? Me? You are the light. Don't get egotistic now. Just don't become egotistic. I am the light of the world. No, you're nothing. And I'm nothing. Because we'll prove it in a minute. You are the light of the world. Remember what we said earlier on? Our life has got to be shared with us. Go and share the goodness of God, right? That's what it says. Now that we are priests, go share the goodness of God, the mercy of God. And now we catch up with this again. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. So can I be a silent witness? No, you can't. Why not? You have to compare it with darkness and light. If there's darkness and light comes in, is it evident? So the world is dark, but you and I am the light. Is it evident? Should be. Should be. Oh no, we got to keep it secret. Well, then join Freemasons. You are the light of the world. Like a city on the hilltop that can't, oh, I don't want anybody to know. I'm just going to be a silent witness. I'm not going to say a thing. I just want them to watch my behavior. Oh, gosh. And use it as a cop-out. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Guys, you and I can't. If I'm going to be called a child of God and a priest, I cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket unless you're dumb. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand. The lamp is placed on a stand. Why? To give light. Aren't you grateful for a candle when the light goes out? Aren't you grateful for, well, now it's a bit different. You can get rechargeable stuff. But I mean, we go back to the old days. A candle did wonders when it was dark. Didn't you value a candle? Especially that it could only burn for so long and it's going to last for the whole week. Just enough light to take a bath, enough light to eat, enough, blow the candle out because you want to save the candle because it's precious. And so where it gives light to everyone in the house. So now notice what verse 16 says. In the same way as this light shines, what must you and I do? Let your good deeds. So what do we have here? We have light and good deeds. Correct? So let's play devil's advocate. No light, no good deeds. So let's go further. Darkness, sin, evil behavior. And he says, that's where you and I have come from. That's where you and I that are priests today have come from, darkness and bad behavior. No sound mind, and now we are light, but not the light. We only reflect the light. How do we know this? As light enters, and you are now part of the light, as seen in Matthew 5:14-16, Jesus also calls Christians the light of the world, but he spoke of himself as the light of the world in John 8:12. Look what it says. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am. Oh, come on, give me a break. Who's who in the zoo? Are you the light or am I the light? Well, you would have no light if it wasn't from the light. I am the light of the world. And no man can claim this for himself if we read it in its context. Yes, he did say, you are the light of the world. But that's as far as it goes. And he elaborates. Because even if I am the light of the world, I can't take somebody out of darkness. But the light can take somebody out of darkness. Because that's what he says. I am the light of the world. If you follow me. How long must I follow you? To the end. Where are we going? Shut your mouth and follow. Because otherwise you're going to become like the Israelites in the desert. You'll start whining and longing for the onions and the garlic and everything else. I am the light of the world. If you follow me. Now come on, you must follow. If you follow me. So what do we find? Choice. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness. But we've got to understand this, because walking in darkness is separate from God. Darkness is separated from God. But if we walk with him, we're not separated from God, we are in him. So we therefore can come boldly to the throne of God. And I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness. How about, thank you. Thank you. Where have I come from? Out of darkness. But look at this, guys. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness. Because you will have what? If I am referred to as the light of the world, can I lead to life? No, I can't. I've come out of darkness. But has he come out of darkness? Has the light come out of darkness? No. He's always been the light. He's the giver of life. So in him, what do I have? The light. Look what it says. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. So what is the light that leads to life? So without Jesus, what do I have? Darkness. And people grovel in darkness 24/7. And people just can't understand it. The same way, we would rather go with the rapist. We would rather go with those that steal our money than go with the right people. And I'm not referring to anything. Except Minnesota. But in any case, it doesn't matter. So, we're living in a skewed world. That people prefer darkness than light. People prefer unrighteousness than righteousness. People prefer doing bad than endeavoring to do good. But bad cannot do good until their life has been changed. That's why we are priests. We've come out of darkness. We found the light. And we're following the light. And the light has given us life. And this life that we have in him must now be revealed and shown to others. In other words, Christians are the reflection of his light. And I believe you will agree with me. Our purpose then is to function. Or how can I put this? Our entirety of life is to shine for him because he's in us. He's given us life. So every follower of Christ is now part of the church. And the church is the light. So why do you think there's such an attack on the church? To snuff out the light. Because the light convicts. Come on. There's a rock. You pick up the rock. What happens? Light is shown. And what happens? Everybody squirms out. Yeah. They squirm there. Light exposes. Light convicts. So what can I do to stop this uneasiness that I see? From the light that is shining. But if I can just get rid of the light, it will ease my conscience. No, you can't get rid of the light because Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You can't quench it. You can try and stifle it. But it's not going to work. Because God is not in a box. Every follower of Christ is the church of Christ. The divine origin of the church. An elect race. A separated people. A called people. A chosen people. Our function in the world. What is our function in the world? A royal priesthood. That's our function. To shine this light. To reflect the light of him. To show the goodness of God. We are kings and priests blended to show the power and function of the priesthood. The beauty of the character of this priesthood We are a holy people, a separated people, a called out people, because we made a decision to follow Jesus. In other words, Satan, I'm done with you. God, I'm in love with you. Satan, you've ruled, controlled my life. I've been abused, I've been used, I've been spit out. But you know what? I found somebody that loves me. I found someone that cares about me. I found somebody that gave his life for me. And now I give my life to him. And in that moment, I become a born-again child of God and I become a royal priest. Oh, not only that, I can go on. But now I'm reconciled to the Father. I have the joy, the honor, the privilege to enter his presence boldly. And there is no veil separating that I can go into his presence right now and say, Father, I love you. I don't have to make an appointment. I don't have to go through another party. I don't have to go to somebody and say, can I please confess my sins? And then he tells me to do certain things and then I'm okay. No. He said, Father, I love you. And he says, welcome, my child. I paid a dear price for you. The high priest gave his life. We are precious to God, and I wrap up. We are precious to God, which means we are a peculiar people, a people that have been redeemed, a people that have been bought. But through our actions and through our life shining and reflecting Christ, we are a joy to him. How many of us would appreciate the fact, I'd rather be a joy to him than a pain in the butt? I'm a joy to him as I reflect the light that is in me. In other words, I delight him. Do you know how mad the enemy, the devil, is when he sees people that were in darkness now walking in light and they're happy? Because all he wants to do is destroy and keep you oppressed. But joy, joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace that passes all understanding. The joy of God is just unexplainable. But the minute you and I become born again Christians, all of a sudden the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, whoever is in Christ is a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come. If you want to take the word creature out, you can replace it. He's a new creation, a new person. Because you might not think creature is a good word. But it's a new creation. I know sometimes we kind of act like creatures. We are precious to God. Our work in the world starts the day you and I become born again. Our work in the world. We're going to close with 1 Peter. Do I have a purpose now? Yeah, to reflect the light. Do I have a job description? Yes, I do. To show the goodness of God. To be a witness. To make disciples, to share my faith. And there's no particular rule that you've got to follow. There is nothing more powerful than an experience you had when you gave your life to Jesus. If somebody says, how do you know that born again is the right thing? Simple, I was there when it happened. How can you argue with my experience? What changed you? Jesus. Oh, no. There's been a big change in your life. Don't start the religious garbage. What changed you? I don't know. Once I was blind, but now I can see. And it's because of him that I was able to see now. I was blind before I met him. And now he's healed me. I can see. So how did you see? I don't know. He said, be healed, and I was healed. What else can I say? So we don't have to complicate the matter. We can always just boil it down to Christ. Because without Christ, there's no life. Without Christ, there is no joy. Without Christ, there is no peace. Without Christ, there is no hope. So what in the world are you groveling in darkness for when I can give you all the positives, but you continue to live with the negative? You're nuts. 1 Peter 9:12. As a result, as we said, the result of people rejecting God. Now you've accepted Christ. And as you've accepted Christ, you can show others the goodness of God. Wednesday night, we encourage people to help one another share. The same way as Crossway has, over the years, developed and evolved into a family. In the sense of, somebody is sick, people pick up the tab. They call them, they text message them, they send cards. That's the body functioning. And if the body functions, it makes life a little bit easier for this guy. Why? Because the responsibility is spread. Now, it's not he cares, we care. We care. And we have a responsibility towards one another. You can show others the goodness of God. Why? For he called you out of the darkness. Pause for a moment. How grateful are you that he called you out of darkness? I don't even want to go there. Because if you want to go there, you've got to... It's not on the screen. My mind's just running. If you want to go there about the darkness, then you've got to go to the deeds of the flesh in Galatians 5. And the deeds of the flesh are pathetic. But the fruit of the Spirit is fantastic. For he called you out of darkness. I love this. Into his marvelous light. I close. Did he have to do that? So why the heck did he do it? Why the heck did he do it? While we were yet sinners, in other words, pathetic individuals, while we were yet sinners, oxygen thieves, he sent his son to die on a cross for us while we were yet sinners, stealing the very oxygen he gave to humanity. I'm breathing. No, you're just existing. You only breathe properly in Jesus Christ. That's when there's life. Wow. Why did he do it? Why? Because God so loved the world. Yeah, individuals. That he gave his one and only son, that whoever will believe in him will what? It's not going to perish, but have eternal life. In other words, become the light. Reflect the light. And now we are part of the priesthood of God. So don't you think now, all of a sudden, when I say, are you a Christian? Yeah, but that's not all. That's not all. I'm a follower of Christ. Oh, no, that's not all. I'm a witness. Oh, no, that's not all. I'm a peculiar person. No, that's not all. I'm a king and priest. Oof, yeah, that blows their mind. Okay, insane. But that's who we are. Because the Bible says the natural does not understand the things of the Spirit. But you know what's going on. You know what's going on. So this morning, we wrap up the P. Priesthood. And next week we'll move on to the next word in the acronym. And let your mind start thinking. And I know what's going to happen next week when I say it. I knew he's going to say that. Yeah. Well, that was my first thought. At least I'm stretching your mind. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Come, we give thanks to him.